We're holding Yimei Svira, and besides for the Inyan of Svira, like we've spoken about, where it's a hachon of a Kabbalah Satayra, day in, day out, we're trying to create the excitement that we have in the realization that Iker of Yisrael is Taira. Besides for that avoida that we're supposed to be doing during Yimei Svira, there's another very important point for Yimei Svira. And that is that we know we're in a Yimei Avelus. We're in days of Avelus of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that were Nifter in this period of time. We obviously know we can't listen to music, take haircuts, take a shave, all the things that we can't do, all the Hilchas Avelus. If there's Hilchas Avelus that we're keeping, it's because the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to feel the loss for a very special purpose. We have to be mesaken why we're sitting in Avelus here. We have to be mesaken why were they wiped away. We all know the famous Gemara in Yevamos. On Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis, the Gemara says, Shneim Asa Elav Zugim Talmidim Hoyuloi the Rabbi Kiva. There was 12,000 Chavusa Shavs, groups, means 24,000 total. 24,000 Talmidim that Rabbi Kiva had. The Kulam Mesu Perek Echa. They all died in one period of time. Because they didn't have respect for each other. And I think there's a Gevaldik Adiyak that we can make. You know, the Gemaras all over Shas have no problem telling you the truth. If one Amayra or a Tana was Mitzayr another person, the Gemara says exactly what happened, that he was Mitzayr him. He gave him pain. If he was Mezalzel in his respect, the Zilzel that he did, the Bezoyin that he might have done. Gemaras don't hold back for the details of what one might have done to the other. We have to Medayik over here. It doesn't say that he did something wrong to the Chaverim. Shloinogu Kavod Lelozeh is telling us they wiped away what they didn't do. Shloinogu Kavod Lelozeh. It doesn't say that they were Mitzayr the Chaver. They were Mezalzel, they were Mevazeh, or anything other bad Hanhaga that they might have had of positive things that they've done wrong to their Chaver. The Chayr we're seeing from over here is that what's being mourned from the 24,000 Talmidim, why they had to be wiped away, the Tviya against them, wasn't what they did to their Chaver. It's what they didn't do for their Chaver. They should have had a better respect. They should have gave more honor, more recognition, more sensitivity for what they didn't do. That was the Tviya. And this is our responsibility. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, it's in Siman Tov Tzadi Gimel, Sif Dalad, when it talks about Sfiras Ha'Emer. In Sif Dalad, Shulchan Aruch writes, Nohagu Hanoshim Shaloi Lasleis Melacha. There's a minhag that ladies don't do Melacha. And the Mishabur right away writes, Vehu Adin Anoshim. It's not just limited to ladies, but it's even Anoshim, men too. I guess men was more poshut, so we're writing even the ladies. Is a minhag not to do malacha mi Pesach v'ad atzeres, from Pesach till Shavuos, mishkiyas achama ve'elach. From shkiyas achama and on, every evening, is a minhag not to do malacha. It's the zman of Sfiras Ha'Emer. Why is it a minhag not to do malacha? Zok to Mishneh Berurah, mishkiyas achama ve'elach. Hatam, the reason is, shenikberu achar shkia sachama. They used to do the kvura after shkia sachama, and therefore, the ganze community, the whole Om, was not doing malacha. They were busy with the Levaya. They were busy with the Kvura. So a Mela in Shulchan Aruch is brought down that Ad Kedei Kach, we have to relive this matzav that we're living through right now. You know, if you make a cheshbin, 24,000 Talmidim to be nifter in such a short period of time, you know how many Levayas there were a day? 727 Levayas a day. You make a cheshbin. It blows your mind what that means. 727 Levayas a day. Every day they have to do 727 kvuras. Could you be masik such a thing? It blows your mind. Literally blows your mind to think about. And this is what we're supposed to feel. We have to feel this tremendous loss of the 727 Levayas each day to realize that they were wiped away for one reason. They didn't give proper respect to each other. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't go ahead and put each other down. But there was a level of what they didn't do. They didn't give enough respect to each other. They didn't give enough recognition to each other. The sensitivity to each other. That was the tfiyah against them. And we're reliving it with a minhag not to do malacha during that period of time when they were busy with the kvura. As I state in Shulchan Aruch. So if we want to work on this inyan, what do we have to do? Where do we begin to work on such an inyan of being nogu kavod zeh lazeh? How do we work on this inyan to change ourselves? To taka be mesaken, the gvaldika avelos that we're in for the loss and the tviya against them. How do we be mesaken this? How do we begin to be nogu kavod zeh lazeh? So I think it's a mayridik adiyuk. We say this every Shabbos in Mincha Davening, in Shemona Esrei. In Davening we say, Ato Echod v'Shimcha Echod u'mika'amcha Yisrael goy Echod ba'aretz. We're coming to talk about Klal Yisrael's Echod. That Klal Yisrael, mika'amcha Yisrael, who's like Klal Yisrael? It's one goy Echod ba'aretz. It's a unique nation of oneness. But it's brought down in a very interesting sentence. We compare the Ato Echod, we compare the Shimcha Echod to the Achdus of a Yid in Klal Yisrael, Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echod Ba'aretz. It's the same level of oneness. What does this mean? We have to realize what's Meduyik over here in this Tefillah. And I one time heard B'Shem Rabbi Victor Miller. You know, it's common. A person could, you walk to the grocery store and you bump into someone and he asks you your name. So you tell him your name. And all of a sudden you chap that, you know, your great-grandfather was mamash, you know, his grandmother's first cousin and your other, you know, and, you know, they call Jewish geography that somehow you bump into anybody and all of a sudden you're related five different ways. This happens very commonly by many people. Victor Miller used to say, people after such an encounter would say, what a small world. And he said, you're making a big mistake. It's not a small world. The world is very big. It's a very large world. It's not a small world at all, he said. But rather, it's a very huge world that's ran very efficiently. Very organized. And therefore the Rabbeinu Shlomo, in his echad, in his oneness, how he runs the world and orchestrates everything, in that efficient, organized manner that he's running the world, he makes it that Yidden always somehow have connections, and that's the Moiridika Ata Echad, the Achdus of Hashem. How he runs the world so efficiently that we're all kamat in this huge world, and yet we find everybody related to each other and everybody has shakas to each other. And on this level, we're saying in Tefillah, the same way the Rabbeinu Shloim's Ata Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, there's such a gevaldika oneness. We say in Kriya Shema Hashem Echad, that oneness of recognition that we're supposed to have in the Achdus of Hashem, how Hashem is all one and everything comes together, That's the oneness we have to have. Yidden. All of us have to feel such a oneness. The Goy Echod Ba'aretz. What's unique about Klal Yisrael is that oneness of Klal Yisrael. And that's the level that we have to live with. Feeling one with one another. You know, I recently read, you know, what you do every year, Torah Mesorah, they have a President's Conference in Florida. So at the President's Conference in Florida, the former President, Donald Trump, came and spoke. He showed up, I don't know if he was invited or not, but whatever it is, he got up there and spoke. And I saw in the speech that he gave, he started listing all his accomplishments that he did for the Jewish people. And everything he mentioned, you can imagine the whole audience cheered him on. They clapped and, you know, he started talking about how he stopped the Iran deal and everybody was clapping. He moved the embassy to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem, and everybody started clapping. He shut down the Palestinian embassy, everybody started clapping. And they were going through list by list, everything, and everybody was roaring and cheering for him. Finally, he mentioned that he commuted the jail sentence of Shalom Mordechai Rabashkin 5 years ago on Hanukkah. And at that point, there was a standing ovation. Everybody went wild. That was like the whole place stood up and they were roaring and cheering for like 10 minutes straight. So I think privately or something, he was wondering, President Donald Trump, that like, why did that get more recognition than moving an embassy to Jerusalem or the Iran deal or anything else that went on? Like, what's going on? And the way someone said this over was that although this is what he was wondering and he never got a real answer, but every single one of us didn't know the answer. By us, we're not just like, oh, there's just another guy in jail or another person that, you know, acquaintance. We all feel like brothers. If he let your brother out of jail, of course you go more crazy over that than any other accomplishment he did. By Klal Yisrael, because we're one, we all feel one with Rubashkin and Emil. It's our personal brother. It's our own child that was let out of jail. He doesn't chap that. He can't understand that. Only us Yidden chap such an idea. But this is the reality that we have to realize what it means. Klal Yisrael's Goyechod, the uniqueness of the Achdus, of the oneness of Klal Yisrael. We feel for each other like brothers. If we would feel one with one another, automatically, Zagavalika Nogu Kavod Zelozeh. Rachman Litzlan, we forget about this oneness and we feel competition to each other. 24,000 Talmidim all sitting in the same base medrash. You can imagine what competition and threat they felt to each other. So even they're not doing anything wrong to each other. But that takes away, it's hard to give the right respect. I feel challenged by you. I feel threatened by you. When you feel one with each other, then you have a gvaldika respect. And a gvaldika hakara of recognition, of sensitivity and understanding of each other. The nagu kavod zeh lazeh. The place we have to begin to work is to feel one with another. This achdus, this oneness, is what we have to work on in feeling with every single yid in Klal Yisrael. And especially the people that are close and around with us. You have chaverim in yeshiva, you have roommates. The people that you're around with more are even harder to feel one with. You know, I saw very interesting. I saw brought down from Chaim Vital. People don't know this. Rav Chaim Vital says, Midoisov shel Adam nimdodois ach v'rak kifi yichusoy el ishtoy. Which means, you think a guy is a nice guy, he's nice to everybody, he's such good midas, and your mom, you can't stop talking about his midas. How does he act with his wife behind closed doors? Is he the same nice, sensitive individual? Or he's tough, and he has to have his way, and he has no flexibility and all that. Zokav Chayim Vital, the area where it determines, if you want to know where someone's holding in his midas, how does he act with the people? He's talking about a wife, he says, which that's the classic example. Behind closed doors, when no one's around, the person you're accustomed with, how much of a mensch do you act with her? But it's something, although we're not married, it's something we could ask even around our roommates, for example. Maybe on the outside, we act so nice and sensitive. But with your roommate, you're tough and rough with. You're accustomed to him. You're with him so many months already. Says Reb Chaim Vital, it's those that you're so comfortable with and close with that at times you lose the most flexibility with. And you don't know how to have the sensitivity to. And that's the measuring stick to know where you're holding with your midas. It's this idea that we have to feel the oneness with every single other neshama that we come across. You have to feel one. When you feel one, then you know who covers Elazar. When you're lacking the feeling of oneness and you're busy with yourself, I, me, everything's I and me, and you don't feel one with someone else, then it's very hard to give the Nagu cover Zelazah. You're so busy and absorbed with your own being. In July 1976, it was the famous story of Entebbe. I don't know if you ever watched the movie, if you have to relive, you know, we read the book about it. There's ways of knowing what happened. Entebbe was, Rachman al-Islam, was a plane that was going to Eretz Yisrael that the Arabs took hostages, and they landed in the airport at Entebbe in Uganda. And Rav Huttner Kidua was on that plane. And there were other many big people on the plane besides the regular Yidden also. A lot of Yidden on the plane. And B'derech Nes, Eretz Yisrael was Zaycha to accomplish a tremendous rescue operation, where they rescued all the hostages, or kamat all of them. And it was a miracle that they were zeichet to. But Akopana, before the rescue happened, when news broke that these people are hostage with the Arabs in Uganda, so you can imagine, Klal Yisrael broke down in tefillah to the Ribbono Shel. In the Mir Yerushalayim, they had a gevaldik asifa to say Tehillim. B'chaim Shvulovitz, the Rishiva at the time, came in to give a shmooze before they're going to say Tehillim. He never said the shmooze. He wasn't able to say the shmooze. He got two sentences out and he broke down crying and he couldn't get back to himself, and they just began Tehillim instead. What did he say? Chaim Shulevitz got up in the Mir Yerushalayim and said, if the hostages, the prisoners, were your brother, think about how much kavanah you would have when you're going to daven and say Tehillim for your own brother. And he broke down crying. And he added one more sentence and said, and attack your brothers. And that was it. He couldn't finish his shmooze. He felt one with them. And he wanted the whole tzibur, the whole olam, to realize that oneness. When you feel one, then it's a whole different feeling of davening for another person that's going through something. And it's a whole different way you act in your relationship with somebody that's one with you. It's when we feel that we're one entity and they're someone else. So that's when it's loy nagu kavod zeh lazeh. That's when it's hard to give the proper respect. You know, there's a Meridika Maisa that happened with Rabbi Yosef Charif. Rabbi Yosef Charif was a Rav in Slonim. And the Maisa goes that there was a very wealthy individual in the town who no one knew, but all of a sudden his business went bad and he lost all his money. And it was Erev Pesach, and his poor wife, who had nothing, mamash didn't have a penny in their house. They mamash didn't have food for anything, for yontif or anything. She showed up at the Rav's house, Rabbi Yosef Charif, and she broke the news to him of the secret that they were hoping things would work out. And Lamaisa, they're penniless, they don't have a pruta to their name for the yontif. They mamash don't know what to do. And she needs the Rav's help. And you can imagine an Erev Pesach, Rabbi Yosef Charif told her that, I already gave out all the moiz chitim. I almost gave out everything. I don't have anything. So it was a terrible situation. And the Rav closes his eyes and starts thinking to himself, what can I do for them? Finally, he chaps a gewaldic idea. And he tells this Yid's wife who was standing there, the Yid's name was Ramnata Hirsch. That was Nebuch the Yid who went bankrupt. She told Ramnata Hirsch's wife, who's standing there, tell your husband tonight, when they come around to say gudyontif to me, he should whisper something in my ear. Whatever he wants to whisper, let him whisper something in my ear quietly, no one should hear. And I'll take care of you. So you couldn't imagine what the Rav wants, but okay. That night, everybody's coming around to the Rav to say gudyontif. And when he passes by, or not to pass his by, he bends down and whispers to the Rav's ear something. And the Rav says, oi! He starts shaking his head. It's all chametz. There's nothing you could do. I'm so sorry, but it's all chametz. There's nothing you could do. He starts screaming, it's all chametz, nothing you could do. And you could imagine everybody hearing, and this was the Reichman of Stadt. This was the Rechnitz of the Stadt. This was the guy. And they couldn't believe everything in this house is going to be chametz. And all of a sudden, every Yid, one Yid started offering matzah, next guy started offering wine, I have extra kugel for you, I have extra chicken for you, I have charoisis, I have moror, and mamish, that rest of the night, it poured into his house all the food that he possibly could need for the gods of Yantav. A moridika maisa, a gvaldika pikchus of Rabbi Yosef Charif. But in truth, what's even more amazing about the story is how Rabbi Yosef Charif understood that in my shtot, if they would hear that everything's chametz, I have no doubt that I'll have the ganze yontif right there on the spot. He knew the oneness of his whole kehila. He understood with certainty that if this person's in trouble and I'm going to tell everybody out loud it's chametz, he'll have the whole yontif right in front of him. The kachav. This is a feeling that we have to learn and develop. How to feel oneness with every Yid. And the emes is, it's not only about feeling one. This is a starting point to feel one. But there's another nekuda. We have to realize as an Adam, as a human being, an Adam is defined by how much you're able to give and do. Like we've said 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times already, from Chaim Volozhin, of loy la'atzma hu nivra, el lahoyo la'achrini. A person, Rav Chaim Volozhin used to say, it was a magul of a pume, that a person is loy la'atzma hu nivra, you're not created for yourself. You're created to be there for others. What defines the human being is how much you do for others. And there's a moiridik adiyuk. It's in the Gemara in the Dorim, on the Afsamach Dalet Amid Beis. A famous Gemara that says, Arba Chashuvim Kemes. There are 4 people that even though they're alive, in their lifetime, while they're alive and they have a heart pumping, they're considered dead people. And the Gemara says, Arba Chashuvim Kemes. Ani, Nebuch, a poor man who has nothing. A Mitzayra, a Suma, and Misha Ein Loibanim. These 4 people, a poor man, a Metzayra, a blind man, and Nebuch, someone who can't have children. Rachman al-Tzlan, these are 4 people that live life, that are considered kemes, that are considered dead, but they're not alive. Frekab Chaim Shmulevitz, I understand the Ani, the Suma, the Mishain Loibanim. I understand these people. Rachman al-Tzlan, their lives, although they might be alive, but because of what they're experiencing, they taka are like a mace. The taka like a mace. The guy can't see him. He has no eyesight. You ever think to yourself what it means to live without eyesight? How thankful we have to be every morning when we say the bracha pekeach hivrim? Rachmana litzlan, all these things. We can hear why they're a mace. Of a frek v'chaim shvulevitz. What's pshat in the mitzoyra? A mitzoyra is choshev kemes. If anything, it's like a temporary skin disease. You go to your skin doctor. You know, obviously the doctor can't help you. You got to go to the kohen. But the point is, it's a temporary skin disease. Why is that called kemes? Zokim chaim shmulevitz. Because the pasuk says on a mitzoyra, tomehu bodod yeshev. Michutz la machna meishavoy. He's tamei, and he has to sit alone outside the machna is his dwelling place. Zokam chayim shmulevitz. If you rob a yid of the ability to be with people, to be able to give to others, that's taking away the whole essence and the nature of what a person is. A human being is there for others, and you're not allowing him to be there for others. Not allowing to be for others, that's mace. He's being deprived of the most crucial element of what defines the human being. Rabbi Tzvi Tress Shlita, it's my son-in-law's great uncle, believe it or not. Rabbi Tzvi Tress was a son of Mike Tress. Rabbi Tzvi Tress Shlita was once in Florida. He went there for something, and when he died in Shachris and Shul, he had his tefillin bag on the table, and someone saw his name, Tzvi Tress. So a yid, it was an old man, a yid came over to him and said, "Do you know Elimelech Gavriel Tress, Mike Tress?" So he said, "It's my father." He said, "Really?" And he broke down crying. I just couldn't believe he's meeting up with the son of Mike Tress. He broke down crying. So Tzvi said to him, "Like, what's going on? What happened?" He said, "I'll tell you. You know, I survived the war. I came to America in those early days, and I came with nothing. You can imagine, no family, no money, nothing. I was a Satmar Chassid, and in those days, Stamazai Satmar Chassidim weren't around. It was very unique for anybody to see a Satmar Chassid. And all I spoke was Yiddish, I didn't even know any English. And I needed a job badly. I mamish couldn't put bread on my table. I was living literally in poverty, starvation. So someone suggested me in the community, go to the Aguda office. Maybe they can help you there. So I went to the Aguda office that was nearby. And your father, Elimelech Gavriel Tress, Mike Tress, approached me and asked how he could help me. So I told him, I possibly need a job. I can't feed myself or anything. So he told me, what do you do? He asked me what I do. So I told him, I'm a glazier. I work with glass. So he says, "Oh, really? You're a glazier? You should know, two blocks away is a glazier company, and there they're looking for a worker that works in glass. I'm going to write you a note that I know you, and they should take you as a worker, and you'll have a job." And I couldn't believe my good fortune. It was unbelievable. The Gevaldik mazel that I had. And he wrote me up a note. I walked two blocks to that company, and I gave the boss the paper, and he immediately gave me the job, and Baruch Hashem, I started working there. I was making money to feed myself and family. After a good couple of months, the boss tells me, "You ever see that guy Tress around who sent you here?" Obviously he says this, I guess, in Yiddish. "You ever saw the guy Tress? You could tell him that he can stop paying your salary. You're a good worker. I want to keep you, and I'm going to pay you." And at that moment, I realized what your father did for me. He didn't stop writing a paper to take me. He promised the guy that he'll pay the salary. And that's how I had the first few months of a job. It was your father that saved me. This is simple sensitivity of Yidden that lived in our last generation. Can you imagine doing such a tremendous act? A total stranger, someone you don't even know, to think of it on the spot. This is Moridic sensitivity of a oneness. This comes from Yidden that avir for others. If your whole life is for others, you're not so busy with yourself, lo la'atzmo yunivra. You're not created for yourself, you're not busy with yourself, but rather you're focused on others. That's how you come up with such great ideas, like Mike Tress did, on the spot, in a moment's time. And the emes is, all the bracha in the world comes down to this point. If you're a giver, that's where bracha comes from. We spoke about this Friday night from the Chassam Sofer, such an idea. But I'll tell you another beautiful maramakam in this concept. There's a minchas chinuch. A chinuch, a mitzvah tof pei. In mitzvah tof pei, the chinuch writes, it's the mitzvah shaloi nimna milahal vois ani. Don't hold yourself back from lending money to a poor man, b'pnei shmita. You know shmita's coming, and if he doesn't pay you back in time, shmita wipes away the whole loan. So it takes a gevaldik gevura to be able to lend someone money on the chance that they might not pay you back on time. So the law in the Torah, don't hold yourself back. Says the chinuch, Mishroshei HaMitzvah, the root of this mitzvah. How do you understand this mitzvah? Listen to the words. Lechazek ulekvoya bilivaveinu. The tachlis of this mitzvah is to instill in our hearts midas hanedivos. The midah of being a person that gives. Ula harchik tachlis harachako midas akilos. And to distant the whole midah of being cheap, of not being able to give to others. Ve'ein nodiv ba'olam kemal v'ma'isav. There's no greater than divas to lend someone money. You know it's so close to Shemitah, you might lose all the money you're lending. Ulav sidav imenu, it's be gone. And yet you find the gvura to go ahead and lend it anyway. It's a gevaldik nedivus. Says the chinuch, my ridiculous words. V'chol meivin darkei Torah. Anybody who really knows how the Torah runs, how life works, the Torah-dik life that we live, u'masig l'das afilu ma'at, b'chin erko yoda bebiru. Anybody who's masig, a little understanding of the velt, how the Rebbeinu Shem Zanhaga's work knows with clarity. Ki amefaze mimamoinoi el atzrichim noisif oid. Those that open their wallet and are always giving, you're not losing out. You're not missing anything. Fakert. The ones that know anything about the Anhaga of the Rebbeinu Shem in this world know that the more you mefaze your mama and you give it out, noisif oid, you get back more. And the ones that are always calculating, do I really have enough? Can I really give? I gave so much already. Those, all they have is lacking. They think they're holding on to the money to have, and they're not going to have. Ki Hashem yodin es ha'odim ufi ma'asov. The Rebbeinu Hashem runs your life according to what you do. V'yanikeyu b'birchosa k'vi'es karvusa yeleho. He gives you bracha based on how you get close to him, how you act. Umidas hakilos, the midah of being cheap, not able to give to yechaverim. Michitza shel barzel beinoyu bein habracha. It's an iron michitza between you and bracha. V'hanadivos, on the other hand, chelik mechelkei habracha. So when we live our lives that we're there for others, we should realize, like we spoke about from the Chassam Sofer already, but here you have it from the Chinuch himself and the Rishonim, that when we live our lives for others and we're giving for others, all you have from that is zero loss, but get back plenty. You're not losing anything. That opens up the Sha'arei Bracha and Shemayim. That's how you get so much. And the ones, Rachmanu Litzlan, that are so cheap and they can't give out, and you can't do for your chaver and whatever it is, those are the ones that have nothing. They think they're holding on to have, and they don't even have. As I state in Sefer HaChinuch. I'll tell you a Maridik Amaiso. I heard it firsthand a few weeks ago. It's a true Maisa that recently happened. There was a Beis Medrash Bacher who went to have a Bechina to be accepted in a certain yeshiva. And when he got the head, the yeshiva was tremendously impressed with him. And he saw almost a phenomenal head that this Bacher had. So in conversation he said, I guess to the father, he always had such an outstanding mind. So the father responded and said, you know, in truth it wasn't like that. He wasn't like this at all. But I'll tell you what happened. And he told him of a story. It's a true story that happened recently. It was one day during the Zman, and they were mechabed this bacher with hagba. The bacher went up to do hagba by davening. And when he did hagba, he switched his hands, like they do on Simchas Torah, and he picked it up with his hands crossed to go the other direction, like they do on Simchas Torah. Instead of showing it facing you, he showed it backwards. This is what they do on Simchas Torah, the Anhago, the Bnei Ashkenaz, at least. You could imagine when he did that, what a tumult made in the Beis Medrash. Mamash, the Gan Tzolom was tumulting. The Mamash was Simchas Torah Nachama. After Shachris, the Yeshiva called him into his office. Kedar Kabakaydish, as expected. And the Yeshiva said, "My hi, what's going on with you?" And the Bacher told the Yeshiva, "I'll tell you what happened. Did you notice the Bacher that got Shlishi had a stutter? And the Olam was a shtickle laughing. Obviously, it must have been like a high school, probably. And they were shtickle laughing. And the tumult, even after the Shlishi, they were still humbling the ganze Zach. I didn't like the fact they were tumbling about that. So I wanted to save this Bacher's extra embarrassment, and I wanted them to tumble about something else. And that's why I did Hagba backwards." Can you imagine a Bacher saying this? This is the emes of why the Bacher did it. The father told the Reshiva that he was being verheard by. From that day on, when he did this selfless act, that he didn't care about his own bizyonis, and he saved someone else's bizyonis, all of a sudden, Mayonis Chachma opened up. The wellsprings of Chachma opened up in his mind, and his madrega in learning changed phenomenally. I heard this firsthand from somebody. This is an emphasis story from our generation. Do we ever think like that? Do we ever live for others in such a way that I want to remove your embarrassment and I'll take the embarrassment myself? This is living with a oneness. This is the madrega that we have to live up to be misakin the chet of the 24,000 shaloi noagu kavoid zelozeh. This is the avoido of learning how to be noagu extra kavoid. It's not what they did to the chav, it's what they didn't do. All the extra respect that they should have been doing. Like we medayik in the beginning. We're very short on time, and I want to just get to this maisa. I just heard this yesterday. For working on the Indian of Midas, Rav Eli Ber Vachvogel Shlita, Yeshiva of South Folsberg Yeshiva, he was masbid at Meir Hershkowitz when the Levaya went to Muncie. And someone told me over what he said by the Hespid. He said over such a phenomenal Maisa, it blows your mind. But this is very important for our Avoida to understand that if we want to work on our Midas, and we want to refine ourselves to the next level of sensitivity, it's all about not being busy with your own self, your own comfort, your own pleasures. Listen to this, my son. Rav Eli Ber said that he joined Beis Medrash Gevoya, the last tekufa, when Rav Aaron was very shvach already. I don't know if he was even saying share at that point. But he joined Beis Medrash Gevoya at that point. And it was a newsman, And the Vekar from the last man went to Eretz Yisrael to learn. So he was gone. They needed a new Vekar. So sure enough, somehow it came his way, and he became the Vekar. Eli Ber became the Vekar when he was a Bachar in BMG. So the first day he said he was going around room to room, waking up all the guys. And sure enough, he comes to a bed of someone, Meir Hershkutz, a Bachar in Yeshiva. And he notices this Bachar is sleeping without a pillow, without a blanket, and he wasn't even sleeping with a mattress. He was sleeping on the raw bed. So he woke him up, and all of a sudden he jumps up and runs to Shachas. So he's thinking, this is the strangest thing around. And this happens day in, day out. So he approaches his Bachar, Meir Hershkowitz, and says, what's the pshat? Why do you sleep without a blanket, a pillow, a mattress? What's going on? And he didn't want to tell him. But Reli Ber didn't lose up, and he kept going at it, asking him. Finally, this Bachar Meir Hershkowitz told him, I'll tell you privately, you can't tell nobody. And until the Levaya, the story never went out. He told him. He says, you know, when I go to sleep at night, I'm so exhausted, I could fall asleep anyhow, anyway. Makes no difference. I could be standing, I fall asleep. I go to sleep, I'm tired, I fall asleep. When I get up in the morning, when I have a pillow and a blanket and a geshmaka mattress, I'm going to get up. Yeah, I'm going to get up for Shacharis. I'll get up in the morning. But it's those extra moments that's hard to pull myself out of bed. And I'm wasting precious moments for no reason. The bottom line is, I fall asleep at night, I don't need the pillow, blanket, or mattress. I can fall asleep no problem. I just get into my bed and I'm out. So what do I need it for in the morning to have an extra pleasure that's going to keep me in bed, extra moments of waste of time if I could do without it? And this is a maisa, if you want to know the roots of where Meir Hershkowitz came from. Here's a yid that when he was already a young bachar, he wasn't busy with his own pleasure and his own geschmack and all focused on himself. It was nothing about himself, it was all about Avodas Hashem. And if I can have more Avodas Hashem, what do I need that extra pleasure for? I'm here to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to realize if we want to work on our midas, and we want to work on our achdus, and we want to work on our sensitivity and concern and care for others, we want to live for others and not live for ourselves. The root that we have to begin with is taka d'loy la'atzma hu nivra. Our whole lives can't be always looking at ourselves in the mirror, taking care of ourselves. If you're so busy with yourselves, you can never get to working on your midas. Because that's all about b'nadam l'chaver, about others. And here you see a Godel b'Yisrael, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Livracha. It wasn't about his own pleasure and delight. That's not what he was busy with. When he ran into the dining room, I'm sure he wasn't busy with his own portion. He was busy with everybody else's portion. And every step of his day, he wasn't busy with himself. It was always about others. His pleasures and his delights and everything about himself didn't play a big role. He realized that Avodas Hashem is to serve and the ikar, to be there for others. And that was a big yesoid that Rabbi Meir Hershkowitz lived with. And this is where Rabbi Ber said over at Levaya, a personal story that happened with him himself. Okay, well, we'll have to stop here. The Ribbono Shel Olam should taka bench us all, and we should also taka, all be mechazik in this inyan, that we're living the avelus now to be mesaken. We should taka be zoicha, to lift our madrega, to taka be mesaken this tremendous avelus that we're in. And with that refinement, the Ezer Hashem together will be zeicha to greet Mashiach that came to Meher B'Yameinu. Amen.